It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of John, we've been looking at chapter 8. And I'd like for us to look at verse 32 once again and read some of those verses. Verse 32 of chapter 8 of John says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, the Jews answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. And how sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Well, Jesus does answer them in verse 34. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." He wants these people to understand that just simply being a descendant of Abraham is not good enough. There must be something done in order for them to be free. Remember, these people were looking, they were looking for a Messiah who would set up a kingdom right then. They were not thinking of the spiritual, but the physical. And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." There's only one way to get rid of the sin problem in a person's life, and that is to receive the sin killer into the heart. The sin killer, of course, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the price for sin. He paid the wages of sin on the cross of Calvary. He was not a sinner. He had never sinned. He was sinless. But yet he took upon himself our sin so that we could go to heaven. He took upon himself the sin of these people who were around him that day questioning him and doubting who he was. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever." The servant is not going to go to heaven. The servant is not going to abide in the house of God. But notice who will abide. But the Son abideth ever. And I remind you that you become a child of God by receiving Jesus as Savior. He came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And if you were lost and you've trusted Him as Savior, you're on your way to heaven. And you need to be rejoicing today because He has saved your soul. And on the other hand, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not free from sin. You have not been freed from the sin debt that is placed upon you by Adam. Now, once again, we don't blame Adam for our personal sin because the Bible says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death pass upon all men." Why? For all have sinned. We can't get away with blaming Adam for all of our lives. We must take the responsibility of sin in our lives, the sin that we have committed, the sin that we have ourselves personally. The Bible teaches us that we must get rid of that sin if we want to go to heaven. And once again, the only way to get rid of that sin is to have the sin bearer to take that sin. That sin bearer is Jesus Christ. He paid the cost. He paid the price for sin upon the cross of Calvary for all of those individuals who would trust Him as Savior. Well, notice verse 36 again. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." There's no question about it. If you've been set free, then you are free. There's no question about it. Once you're saved, you're saved. And that's it. Once you're on your way to heaven, you're on your way to heaven. You've been set free. Verse 37, Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's seed." They told him, they said, we're of Abraham's seed. We're descendants of Abraham. He says, "I know who you are, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." They wanted to kill Jesus because they didn't understand. They were not listening to what he was saying. Verse 38, he said, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Jesus left heaven and came to earth. He was with the Father. And he said, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father." He says, "I've been with God the Father. And I speak what He has instructed me to speak as the Savior of the world. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father." Now we can look at that as a couple of different ways here. We can look at it, first of all, that He's speaking of their earthly father or their relatives or whoever it might be. Once again, speaking of the fleshly instead of the spiritual. But remember, Jesus also told these people on occasion here that ye are of your father the devil. They are of the devil because they have not trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. He said, you're listening to the devil. You're listening to the flesh. You're listening to someone or something that cannot save you. I've been with the Father, and I'm telling you what God the Father wants done. He wants you to go to heaven because he sent me to seek and to save those who were lost. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now, once again, they come back. They've missed the whole point of what he's trying to tell them here. They came back to Abraham, and they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, what was the works of Abraham? Well, the Bible teaches us that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, he took God by faith. He took God's word, and because he was believing in God and he was trusting God for his salvation, not works, but he was trusting God for his salvation because God wants to save everybody. And he knew this. Abraham was a saved man. By faith, he came to a saving knowledge. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And once again, these people were depending upon the flesh. They were depending upon an ancestor because they said that Abraham was their father. They took it upon themselves to say, because of our father Abraham, we're all right. But Jesus said, if you were all right, you would be doing what Abraham did, and that was simply cast faith upon me, Jesus Christ, God. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, Jesus said. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Now, we can look at this at several different ways, but let me say it like this. Abraham had never been in heaven with the Father. Jesus left heaven. He had been with the Father. Remember, now we go back and we look and we see that he says, which I have seen with my Father in verse 38. He says, I speak these words, which I've been with the Father in heaven. But Abraham, when he walked this earth, he had never been to heaven. He was not the Son of God. He was not Jesus Christ. He was not the Savior of the Jewish people. But Jesus is the Savior. And he's trying to get these people to see that. They're still dwelling on the fact that they were Abraham's seed. Now notice verse 40 again. But now you seek to kill me, Jesus said. A man that hath told you the truth. He says, I'm trying to help you, which I have heard of God. He says, I've heard all of that. He says, I'm taking this to you from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. This would be, in my estimation, blasphemy. They were accusing him of being born as a bastard child, a child whose mother had him out of wedlock. They did not believe the fact that Jesus came into this world born of a virgin who was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. No sexual act took place. The Holy Spirit planted the seed within Mary, and Mary conceived and brought forth her firstborn son. By the way, Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. Mary had children after Jesus was born, after she married Joseph. Joseph was the stepfather of Jesus. He was an earthly person who took care of Jesus as an earthly father, as a stepfather. But Mary was not a vestal virgin. In other words, some people believe that Mary was a perpetual virgin, that she had no other children. Well, they don't believe the Bible. The Bible teaches us that Jesus did have brothers, half-brothers and half-sisters, that Mary did have children besides Jesus Christ. She was not a perpetual virgin. So therefore, people who worship her as a virgin, they better get to the Bible, and they better understand that God says you don't worship Mary You're to worship my Son, Jesus Christ, because He is the Savior of the world. He is God. Well, these people we're reading about here, He told them, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to Him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Of course, we know that that is not true. Verse 42 says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Once again, he's alluding to the fact that he had been with the Father in heaven. He left heaven and came to this earth, and he was doing the Father's will as he was on this earth. And notice in verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. He asked the question, and then he answered his own question. Ye cannot hear my word. They're not listening with their spiritual ears. They're listening and looking to the physical once again, to the fleshly. Verse 42, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Jesus didn't mince words with these people. He finally told them exactly who they were. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, these people wanted to kill Jesus, and so does the devil. And he's letting them know here that they are of the father of the devil, and one of the proofs is that they want to kill him, just as the devil wants to kill him. He was a murderer from the beginning, Jesus says, about the devil, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's speaking of these people here, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's lying to these people. These people do not even realize that they have been made liars because of the influence that Satan has given them, because he is their father. Why is he their father? Because they've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 45, Jesus said, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He's saying, I'm telling you the truth. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? In other words, how can you point to me? Do you have any proof that I am a sinner? Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? They were looking upon him as a sinner. Jesus was perfectly sinless in this world. The Bible says there was no guile found in his mouth. In other words, he was sinless. He's God. He's the Savior. And he's trying to help these people, but they were not listening. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. They kept telling Jesus that they were sons of God, sons of Abraham. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He's saying, there's a problem in your life. You're not of God. You need to get things right like Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Jesus is God. And if you want to go to heaven, you must trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, or in other words, the children of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.